I feel to say this every time we get started, because the devil, he likes to condemn people, you know, and different things like that. And if you're not careful, you'll get off on thinking somebody else's issues are greater than your issues. But to God, you know, whether you go rob a bank or you steal a cracker, stealing. You know, we might justify it and think it's not as bad or whatever. But to God, stealing is stealing, right? Murder's murder, lying's lying, no matter what it's about. So I don't want anybody to feel judged. I'm not judging anybody. I hope you're not judging anybody, because if you are, you're just opening yourself up for judgment. The Bible says if you judge, you will be judged with the same measure that you put out to somebody else. It's going to be come back to you. So if you put out a dump truck to somebody, get ready. Your dump truck's coming, right? So we want to make sure we don't do any of that. And we don't want to allow people's words or even our own thoughts. Do you know the Bible says even your own heart can condemn you? But the Bible says that God is greater than our heart. So we don't need to allow ourselves to get condemned about anything, because I don't believe that's the point in what God is having us on this for, because Jesus said he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, right? But that the world through him might be saved. I don't believe he's bringing this stuff to us this morning or here lately to condemn us at all, because you can't get no help that way. The only way you can get help is through mercy, grace, and faith. And condemnation just weighs you down. It causes you to try to give up. I can't do it, right? So we don't want to do any of that. So overcoming the flesh, part two. If you got your Bible, let's look at Mark 9:23. I know we done read this, but it's good. Get it in you. Because see, you may hear this. If you hear this or you read this and you can't see yourself free from something in your life, then you ain't got it yet. It's not living on the inside of you yet. But the more you read it, the more you study it, the more you say it out of your mouth. The first thing to turn your life around is you're going to have to get it on the inside of you, the Word of God, till you can see it and line your words up with it. The Bible says over in the book of James, he says a perfect man. That word perfect there means mature. He says a mature or perfect man never says the wrong thing, and therefore is able to bridle what? His entire body, or his entire nature, I believe the Amplified Bible says. That's a major key to turning things around in your life. The Bible talks about there in James, he says how great ships are turned about with a very small rudder, and it compares our tongue to that very small rudder. So if I'm going to change anything in my life, I've got to get my words lined up with the change that I'm expecting to receive, right? I can't be living one way or expecting one thing and have something else coming out of my mouth. The Bible talks about you can't have bitter and sweet water coming out of the same fountain. So we want to make sure that we don't do that. So we want to get the word on the inside of us. And here in Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto him, now back up a little bit, this guy brought his son, we call him epileptic or lunatic, to his disciples. They couldn't cast the devil out. And so he comes to Jesus and says, if you can do anything, have mercy on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now he came to Jesus putting everything off on Jesus. But Jesus comes back and puts everything back on the man. Y'all see that? The woman that came and touched him, the Bible says she touched the hem of his garment and she was made whole. Jesus had absolutely nothing to do with that. According to Scripture, the Bible says she received that because of her faith. He didn't even know she had done it, but he felt it when the virtue came out of him, right? So it's not, see, some people say, well, I'm waiting on God to heal me, or I'm waiting on God to deliver me, or I'm waiting on God to set me free, or I'm waiting on God to help me. No, we're not waiting on God. God's already done it. Jesus said, it is finished. Now we have to tap in. Grace has provided everything that we need, whether it's finances, whether it's health. The Bible says in John that the Holy Spirit is what? He's our helper. He's our comforter. He's our guide. He'll lead us. He'll guide us into all truth. He's our strengthener. He's our standby, right? All of our needs have already been supplied. If you can have faith for it, grace has already done it. But it's going to take faith to access the grace, and faith comes how? By hearing, and hearing, not just you heard it one time. There's sometimes that you got to hear it and 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 say it and hear it and say it and hear it and say it. Y'all better come on now, I'm telling you. You don't just get it, everything all. Now, you may be reading your chapter or whatever, and all of a sudden a word in the Bible stick out to you. That's becoming rhema. That's revelation right there. Everything doesn't come like that, though. There's some times that the Bible said, David said, I hid your word in my heart that I might not sin against you, right? That means he put it in there and he kept it in there. He hid it in there. He didn't let it out. The Bible talks about how that we put it before our eyes. We put it on our doorposts, right? We put it on our outlets and the inlets and everything else. Why? Because the word has the power to change us, but not if we don't ever read it, if we don't ever study it, if we don't ever say it. Then we become a hearer deceiving ourselves, and we have no power in our lives. Now here he told the man, he said, if you can believe, all things are possible if you can believe it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. What? So you can be strong in one area and be totally whipped in another area. You can be strong in faith for finances, but totally depleted of faith as far as healing is concerned or divine help. Why? Because you have fortified yourself in the areas of finances. If you're strong there, you've took that word and you've fortified yourself in it. If you're strong over in the areas of healing and walking in divine health, it's because you took that word, just like over there in Proverbs 4:20. What's the word say about it? He says, my word is health and healing, medicine to all of our flesh, right? Well, when you take that word and you eat it and you drink it and you take it like medicine, what's it do? It'll heal your body. What's it do on the word about poverty, about finances? What will it do? It'll bring you right out of poverty and make you great, make you wealthy, right? But it just depends on what word did you put in. I have been strong in certain areas of my own personal life before and start working on something else, or just temper, for example. There was one time that I had a handle on that. Temper was not a problem to me anymore a good while after I become a Christian. But over a period of time, you know what happened? Something come up. Don't stop the thought. Don't stop the word. Just say whatever came to me at the time, and then yielding till it comes to the point to, like, I had a test the other day. You know, they take that little thing and they bump you on the knee with it. If you got good reflexes, what happens? Boom. It's the same way with your temper. Y'all not saying nothing. The only reason that I got that strong in that, to where anything, if I didn't like something or somebody said or done and I got rubbed the wrong way, that instantly I would respond in anger, is because the only thing that happened was I quit working on it, just let the thought come, let it come out of my mouth, then putting hands on people or whatever, breaking. All I done was kept yielding to it. Well, guess what? That's not happened to me in over a month now. Why? Because I quit yielding to that. I started stopping those thoughts. I started stopping saying those things out of my mouth. I got real close the other day. Real close. And I told myself, I said, we're not going to do this. I'm in control of you. Why? My mind is not me. My body's not me. I am the spirit that lives in this house, right? You are the spirit that lives in this house. Now, every one of us are today the result of the choices we made yesterday and the day before that and the week before that. So wherever you are the result of where you are, good or bad. If it's good, praise God, he's helped you, strengthen you. Praise be to you too. You've worked with him. We don't get anywhere without working with him. You know, we're in a relationship. But if it's not good, we don't need to blame the devil. We don't need to blame people. I mean, there's people, they're 40 and 50 years old and they still blame. They are the way they are because of their mom and daddy. Give me a break. There's some time where you may not have had the best mom and daddy. You may not have had the best upbringing. You may not have had a mom and daddy at all. But how many knows, once you get up and you get born again, God becomes your father, and now he intends for you to change. He says he'll be a father to the fatherless, right? So we can't be blaming anybody of the choices that we make. Now, sometimes people do help us, right? Some people do help us make wrong choices. Sometimes we get deceived. Sometimes we get trapped or snared or whatever, but we can come out, right? We can. All things are possible if you believe it, right? All things, no matter what it is. Now, over here in Philippians 4. If I can believe it, I can receive it. If he ain't already provided, then I really can't believe it. Because it's grace that made it available to me, right? And faith is going to help me access that grace. Now, I've got verse 13 wrote down, but I want to go up above that. Now, to back up just a little bit here in Philippians, they had started taking care of Paul and his ministry and giving to him and different things like that. And verse 10, he says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again." They couldn't get it to him before. He says, "Wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned." Everybody say learned. Most people don't want to hear this. We want God to do it all. He said, "For I have learned," notice this, "in whatsoever state I am." If your air conditioner quits working, don't get upset because you're sweating. Y'all not saying nothing. I have a problem with that. I don't mind sweating if I'm working. I actually like it. It makes me feel a little bit cooler. But if I'm just sitting in the house sweating, sweat's pouring, that has a tendency to try to get me highly irritated. Y'all not saying nothing. Listen, this is on the lowest of the low levels that I would act up because my little flesh is sweating a little bit. Says a lot about me. Says a lot about you. You didn't get what your little heart desired at the restaurant. They brought you the wrong food. And you want to act up? Are you kidding me? Now, not say nothing. I remember one time, it happened probably, 4 or 5 times in a row that we would go through McDonald's or somewhere, you know, quick to get something to eat or whatever, and I would give Scotty my order, and he would order it just like I said, and get the bag, you know, and go out there and go to the park. We went to what was called the drive-in. He would sit there and say things that people would say and making fun or not making fun, but you know what I'm saying. And we would eat. But anyway, y'all do that too? It's good, ain't it? You can just, you can have a good time. Don't even cost you nothing. But anyway, every time, 4 or 5 times they did this, my order, something would be wrong with it every time. And I was so trained in this, when I make up my mind of what I want to eat, I can smell it, I can taste it, I know how good it's going to be. I've ate it before, and that's what I want. So then when I don't get that, y'all not saying nothing. So I got a clue after about the 4th or 5th time, finally. You know, you can be real slow. And Scotty, he helped me, said, I think the Lord's trying to help you, you know. I'm thinking it's the devil. Well, after about the 4th or 5th time it happened again, I did not get upset. Did I feel upset? Yes. I wanted to go in there and punch them right in the nose and say, where did you learn how to fix this stuff at? Ain't you had no kind of training? What do we pay you for? I know y'all don't. It's just me. That's okay. I'm talking about me. Now, you apply it wherever you got it. You got it somewhere. I guarantee you, everybody in the house got issues. It may not be the same issues, but everybody got some. So after about the 4th or 5th time, I did not get upset. I told myself, it don't matter. Whatever it is, your belly will never know the difference. Unless it's Taco Bell. My belly knows the difference from Taco Bell. But anyway, I'm not getting on that. Anyway, you know, once it gets in there, past the taste buds and all that, it don't matter, your belly's full. Do you understand that's what he's saying right here? I've learned all the things that I've been through. I've been shipwrecked. I've been beat. I've been stoned. I've been left for dead. I've been left in the sea. And we ain't been through crap compared to what some of the stuff he has. And he said, I learned it through all whatever I go through, no matter. I don't let my flesh dictate the way I act. I don't let my flesh rule me. I say what we're going to say. When I say we eat, that's what we eat. If I say we don't eat that, then we don't eat that. If I say we don't think that, then we don't think that. That's what he's saying there. So therefore, if you want to check up on yourself, where do you get moved at? Sometimes I have been so trained in that one look from Scotty, and I'd be upset because he looks like a goat. His eyes are brown, but when he gets upset, they look like a fiery orange kind of looking. And it's the way he looks at me, you know. I say something, he look at me that way, I want to slap his jaws. He ain't even got to say nothing. Not now, though. Look at me like that all day, you're not going to move me, buddy. I'm going to stay in peace. Why? Because I'm working on it. The only way that you can stop something is stop feeding it. I don't care what it is. You got an addiction, you got a habit, you know, you're not happy when you don't get what you want. Do you understand that's the way babies are? Anytime they don't get what they want, what they doing? They fighting and they crying. We're not supposed to be that way. And he says here, I learned it. So what's that tell me? If he learned it, he had to work on it. Right? If I'm going to learn something, I'm going to have to work on it. Why? God don't do everything for me. God doesn't control my body. God doesn't control my mind. God doesn't control my mouth, right? I have free will in every area of my life. Now, he tells me what's best for me. He tells me I will help you. He tells me I will strengthen you, right? But he don't say I'll do it for you. He can't. If he did that, I wouldn't have free will. Let's go on with this. Ooh, is this good? He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He says, I know both how to be abased, that means to live humbly, in lowly circumstances. You ain't got everything you want, you ain't got everything you need. And I know how to abound, you've got more than enough. He says, everywhere, no matter where you're at, the grocery store. Listen, I've had somebody stomp their foot at me and tell me, I wanted this over something to eat. A grown woman. I thought, are you serious? It says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things. That don't leave nothing out, does it? I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things. That leaves nothing out. Not by yourself, not in your own strength. He says, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Right? The Amplified says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. That leaves nothing out. So therefore, the first part of this is grace and truth. The Bible says that we got born again. We heard the word, faith come. Grace had already provided salvation. The word came, we believed it, we spoke it out of our mouth, we received Jesus, right? The Bible also says the same way that we received him, walk in him. That's going to be an everyday thing, right? That it takes faith and grace. God's unmerited favor, his goodness, has given us everything, he says, that pertains unto life and godliness. There's not anything that he'll hold back, he says, from those who walk upright before him, right? So therefore, I'm going to have to use my faith to access the grace in every area of my life, right? God doesn't want me to be a puppet to the devil. And if I'm a puppet to the devil, that means I'm a slave to my flesh. People that are easily moved in the flesh, you're greatly manipulated by the devil. He will lead you around anytime he wants to. Whether it's through something to eat, y'all not saying nothing. Listen, I've been on a fast before and broke it for a hot dog. I don't even like hot dogs. See, maybe you think that's a small thing, but do you understand when God tells you to fast and you eat a hot dog, it's the same as you didn't tithe? It's the same as you committed adultery? It's the same as you lying? Right? You understand that? So we can't just categorize these things. God wants us to be free, fully free from anything and everything, that I would be a slave to absolutely nothing. Why? Because he purchased that for me. That's absolutely already done. But now me and him have to work together to get me in every process to walk it out fully in my life. And once I'm there, there's nothing that he can't use me to do. Right now there's some people, they are so bound by fear to where God tells them to witness to somebody. I mean, they can't. Their knees will start knocking. Y'all think I'm kidding? Yeah. Some people can't even go somewhere and stand in line. Can't stand up and testify of the goodness of God in church because of such fear and bondage. God don't want us like that. The Bible says go and tell of the good and great things that God has done for us. But when you're yielding to a spirit of fear, the more you yield to that, the more in bondage you're going to get. The more in bondage you're going to get. So there's some people, they can't even leave their house. They are so bound by a spirit of fear. God doesn't want that for us. The Bible says he didn't give us a spirit of fear. But what? Power, love, and a sound mind, right? But it's not all up to God whether we walk in this stuff or not. God has already done it. So therefore, we have to take this word, and I have to believe this. I can't, I can't use the excuse anymore. I can't. That is a lie. And wherever I believe lies, it's going to keep me bound. I can't stop eating this. Yes, you can. Number one, I got to stop saying that. I've got to get my mouth, like James says, going in the right direction if I'm going to turn this whole body around, right? Well, I can't just stop drinking this, or I can't just stop smoking this, or I can't just stop looking at those pictures that I shouldn't be looking. Whatever it is. Number one, you got to stop saying I can't. You got to start like saying what the Word says. I can. It might not feel like you can. It might not look like you can. But when you get this in your heart, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We're looking unto Him. We're looking unto His Word. He'll strengthen us. He'll empower us, right? But I've got to make the choice. He won't make the choice for me. But once I make the choice, all the angels, all the Word, all the power of the Holy Spirit is right there to back me up and to help me. In you, whoever it is. All right, and there's way more than what we've got on so far. Put up, Zach, 1 John 3:15, please. You don't actually have, a lot of times people focus on the sins that are done. There's some you don't actually have to physically do. And these are some that a lot of people don't know you're doing them. Right? 1 John 3:15, whosoever hateth his brother is a what? One of the ten, top ten says what? Thou shalt not kill, which means murder. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. You can be a Christian and have absolute hate in your heart towards someone else. That's like that lady I told y'all before, the story about Jerry Savelle. This woman, she was in the hospital dying with cancer. Her and her husband had been married, I think, over 20-something years. Well, not long after they got married, he actually had an affair. She found out about it. He repented. She stayed with him, but she only stayed with him not because she loved him, because she wanted to make him pay for what he had done every day of his life. And she's in the hospital. She's got cancer, and she's dying. They've told her, you're going to die. She's on her deathbed. God speaks to Jerry Savelle and tells him, go to this hospital, tell this lady that if she will forgive her husband, I will heal her and raise her up. Good thing, wouldn't you think? He tells her. She looks at him and she says, I will never, ever forgive him. How many knows you can't receive from God with unforgiveness in your heart? It's a blocker. The Bible says over there in Mark, he says, when you stand praying, do what? Forgive. Why? It's going to be a hindrance to you. Why? That's of the flesh. It's not of the spirit, and you don't receive by the flesh. And she said, I will never forgive him. Never, ever, ever will I forgive him. She died. We don't want to have that. See, I don't actually have to touch you. I don't have to do anything to you, but just harbor absolute hatred in you, in my heart. And he says, I'm a murderer. Put up Matthew 5. 27 through 28, please. Ye have heard, now this is Jesus talking, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, talking about Old Testament, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust, lust means strong desire, after her hath committed adultery with her already, where? In his heart. I don't have to physically get in the bed with you. And ain't no man got, especially no Christian man, got no reason to be talking about the size or shape or anybody else's woman's rear end. That's sickening to me, to hear Christians talk about other men talking about Christian women's body parts. That's sickening. The Bible says we are to be pure in thought, holy in thought. Pure and holy in word, pure and holy in deed, right? So if we're having a problem with that, we can stop it. Thank God we see if we have a problem with it, because usually if he don't turn the light on, I just don't even see it. I don't notice it. I may cuss like a sailor. Everybody else may notice it, but buddy, you let God put his finger on it in my life, and I will hear it and hear it and hear it, and it will rub me till I just can't take it no longer. So therefore, if I'm having a problem with everybody's rear end or whatever, I don't even know what that's about. I don't care. If I'm talking about people's rear end or whatever, I need to stop. I need to say, God, help me. Number one, you must be looking at it. Well, what does he say right here? If you look on a woman with lust in your heart, you might as well have gotten to bed, as far as he's concerned. Now, because you do, don't go jump into bed. I'm not saying that. But where do we have to stop it? In the thought. You may see a good-looking woman, or a good-looking man, or a cake, or whatever. It doesn't matter what it is. You may see that, just like this. Say somebody pull out in front of you. Say you have a problem with people pulling out in front of you or whatever. There was a lady this morning in front of me, and I have a problem with drivers sometimes. I don't think I'm the Holy Ghost expert, but anyway, I'm telling you, she put her blinker on way back yonder, and we're about 2 miles an hour, and we're not even turning yet. And the thought come to my mind, could you please get off of the road? Y'all never hear yourself think a thought. I heard it. Could you please get off of the road? And my next thing I done was, it don't matter. She can drive however she wants to. I'm not in a hurry. If I don't combat that thought, though, the next thing the Bible says over there in Matthew 6, he says, take no thought. How? Saying. First the thought comes. There's nothing wrong with that, but you better stop it right there, because if you don't stop that thought, before you know it, you're going to be saying, and when you're saying the wrong thing, your entire body is going in the wrong direction. So therefore, I got to stop it right here, according to Corinthians 10:3-5, right? It's not weapons of my warfare. They're not of the flesh, but they're mighty through God. Why? To the pulling down of strongholds and casting down thoughts and imaginations, right? So that means I got to be doing something. Now, so you don't actually, some things you don't actually have to physically do them. So you better get your thought life under control. And the Word of God will help you do that. The Bible says, what is it, Hebrews 4:12 over there? That it talks about how the Word of God is quick. It's powerful. It's alive. It's living. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It goes in up to a person, and it'll divide bone from marrow, spirit from soul, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God living on the inside of you. I'm not talking about just, you know, a scripture. I'm talking about the Word of God living on the inside of you. When thoughts or feelings comes to you, instantly that word comes up and says, uh-uh, like a bouncer at the door. Uh-uh, this is not of God. God's Word says this. That every time you have a thought about, I can't tithe, the word comes up, right? Or every time that you have a feeling or something, no, the word says this, right? It acts like a bouncer at the door. Therefore, it can't go no further. And if you don't take the thought by saying, then you can bridle your entire body and your entire nature and be obedient to God in every area of life. Now, the thing we all deal with every day is the flesh. You cannot get away from your own flesh. Now, before I got born again, I could only operate in the nature of the flesh because I'm dead spiritually. I'm not alive unto God. But the Bible says once I get born again, I get regenerated. I come alive unto God. Now I have access to God from spirit to spirit. Not flesh to spirit. Why? God's not flesh. He's spirit. The Bible says we get born again, we become one spirit with the Lord. You marry a person, you become one flesh with the person, right? Now, so that's what we have to deal with every single day of our life. Some days are easier than others. Is the flesh in my body going to run me, or am I, the spirit man, going to run the flesh in my body and my mind? That's where the decision is every day. That's like me as far as my weight and different things. I don't like it. I don't believe the Lord is pleased with it. I know that I am not in my most healthy weight and physical shape. Therefore, I'm working on it. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to help me. I'm not on a diet. I can't do diets. You cannot do diets long term. They don't work. That's what you understand. That's why it's called a diet. It's not called a lifestyle. So what I'm doing is I'm asking the Holy Spirit to help me to make healthy choices. Can I eat a piece of pie? Sure I can. The Bible says I'm free to do anything I choose to do, but all things are not good for me to do, right? So therefore, Holy Spirit, if I've got to choose between this and this, what is the most healthy choice? Do you realize I can live every day like that? Sure I can. I'm supposed to be led in everything I do, ain't I? Supposed to be led in what I eat. Supposed to be led in where I work. Supposed to be led in where I go to church. Supposed to be led in who I marry. Supposed to be led whether I get finances here or I get finances. I'm supposed to be led in every area of my life. So if I will exercise, some people eat 6 small meals a day. Some people eat 3 bigger sizes. It's whatever you feel led to do at the time. But at the same time, you, unless you're on a fast, you're going to have to eat every day. What greater way to exercise being led by the Holy Spirit 3 times a day on just eating? I will get good at being led, don't you think? So therefore, when these big things come up, oh man, I've been being led every day 3 to 6 times a day just in what I eat. I should not have no problem hearing his voice over here. But see, it's when I don't hear him in these little things in my life, and then these big things happen, I ain't got time to fast and pray and seek God then. I should have been built up in hearing his voice all this time. Now, so that's where the thing is. Now, here in 1 Corinthians 10:13, we're not going to take the time to go read that. This is all recap just about. It talks about how there's no temptation that's taken us, but which is common to man. Temptation comes to everybody. Temptation is different. Me and Mama was talking about this earlier. Now, me, I can be tempted with brownies or pie, sweets. Let's just put it that way. I can be tempted with sweets. Scotty cannot. Not at all. Just the difference in our flesh. You put a piece of cake or pie or something, especially if I'm hungry. I don't care what it is. If I'm hungry, just let me have it. You know, that's one reason why you don't need to skip meals. You'll usually eat way more than what you would. But anyway, off of that. You put all that stuff in front of me, I'll be like a... You put that in front of Scotty, he's like, oh man, I'm about to throw up. I don't want all this junk. But you put a green plum about this big around, green, and a little thing of salt over there, or a lemon or two, and his mouth will start drooling. Am I lying? I'm not kidding. He starts drooling, slobbering at the mouth here. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Oh, that just makes my mouth shrivel thinking about it. It's just the difference in the flesh. That's all it is. His flesh has strong desire for sour. My flesh has strong desire for sweet. But how many knows whether it's strong desire for sweet or strong desire for sour, we must keep those strong desires in check. See, I can eat all the sweets I want to and get fat and become a diabetic and all that. Guess what he's done? He's eaten so much green plums and so much lemon, it has absolutely, you would think he has meth mouth. It has absolutely, the acid in the green plums and the lemons, the dentist told him, they have eaten his teeth off till he barely has teeth just above his gum. Now, is that good for him? No. Is that good for me to be a diabetic and weigh 500 pounds? No. How did both of us get to that place? Just yielded to the flesh. He can have a lemon or a green plum. Not as much as he's had. Why? It's doing damage to him. I can have a brownie or a piece of pie or something, but not as much as I want, right? Or not as much as I have. I wouldn't be as big and out of shape and all of that. All it is I need to keep my flesh under control in every area of my life. And if I'm out, I can't blame the devil. I can't blame people. I have to blame me why I made the choices. So there's no temptation that's taken me but what is such as common to man. God will make a way of escape, right, if I turn to him. Proverbs 18:14 talks about how the strong spirit of a man will sustain him. The weakness is in the flesh, Jesus said. Y'all remember we read it last week where Jesus told him in the Garden of Gethsemane, come pray with me 1 hour. He come back and they all asleep. And he told him, he said, the spirit is willing. What that means when you study that is in your spirit, your predisposition to obey God. The spirit on the inside of you always wants to do God's will, always wants to obey God. That's why when you don't, you feel so bad. But the weakness is in the flesh. Flesh never wants to do what God wants you to. Never. The Bible talks about how that they are opposed to one another. So we got to be strong in our spirits. If you're strong in your flesh, stop feeding it whatever area it's in. If you're having a problem talking ugly, stop watching ugly movies. If you're having a problem with cussing, stop listening to all those songs on the radio that sings it with the cussing in it. Y'all know, yeah. Listen, this is, some of y'all think this is way too simple, but your life is in such a doggone mess. Do you understand the Bible says it's the small foxes that spoils the vine? We usually think it's these great big things in our life. No, it ain't. It's the small choices I make every day. In my consistency lies the power, for good or bad. If I'm consistent doing the wrong thing, I will consistently reap the wrong thing in my life. If I am consistently sowing the good thing, I will consistently reap good in my life. It's a law. You can't change it. You just can't. The Bible says, whatsoever a man sows, what? That shall he also reap. And don't think you're going to reap something else when you sow bad. You can't sow good and reap bad. You can't sow bad and reap good. That's not the law. The law is whatever you sow to, you're going to reap. If I sow to my flesh, the Bible says, of my own flesh, I'm going to reap corruption. But if I'll sow to my spirit, to that higher nature, that higher man, the life of God inside of me, I will of the spirit reap peace and life everlasting. But it's my choice. And it's going to cost me one way or the other. If I yield to my spirit and deny my flesh, that hurts. And it's going to cost me. Y'all not saying nothing. Y'all act like y'all ain't never been on a diet. Y'all act like you ain't never quit smoking. You act like you ain't never done nothing. And that's a bunch of baloney. I can tell you right now, if I want a piece of pie and I choose not to eat that pie, I feel it. I hurt. If I want to punch Scotty in the nose and I don't, maybe that's not your thing. See, there's some Christians, they can't keep their hands to themselves. Whether they're all over you filling you up like Charmin, or they busting you in your nose. Some people, Christians, can't keep their hands to themselves. Christians can't keep their eyeballs to themselves. We got a problem. And God has said, I want you free. I love you. I would hate it if my children was in bondage. Don't you hate it? If your kid is on drugs and so bound, I mean, they can't even think straight. Don't you think that it hurts the heart of God when we're in bondage and he's done made us free? He doesn't say this stuff to destroy us. He loves us. And he's got a whole world out there that's dying and going to hell because some of us are not free enough in our own lives to be used by God to set them free. God can't send me to Africa if I'm too bound up. I can't go. Well, I can't leave mom and them. Do you realize those Christians, they say that? God will say, go to this church over here, and they're like, I can't. My whole family goes to church here. My grandmother's tears stained the altar there. I could never go to another church. See, y'all, I mean, I'm telling you, y'all think that's such a small thing. But if you're over here and God wants you over there, it's going to cost you. Scotty, God told him to go out on the street. Y'all have heard the story and heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it. He goes out there, he's sitting up on the street. This guy comes out there and he says, what are you doing? And Scotty explains to him, the Lord told me to come out here on the street and preach the gospel and all that. And you know what he says? He says, God told me to do that, but I didn't. Scotty probably wasn't the second person God told. You hear me? I know he was at least the second, but I don't know for sure that he was the second. I don't know that the other man was the first. I know in my own life God has told me to do something before, and for whatever reason I disobeyed, and I know God moved on to somebody else, and it costed me. I lost a reward. I may have lost some money. I may have lost some joy. I may have lost some peace. Wherever we disobey God, it's going to cost. Wherever I yield to my flesh, in whatever area, I don't care what it is, if God tells us, if I know how to, the Bible says for a man to know to do what to do and not do it is what? Sin. The Bible says man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. The Bible tells me put the word in front of my eyes. Day and night, meditate on the word of God. Read the word of God. Study the word of God. So when I don't, y'all not saying nothing. It's sin to me. Every time that I know it's time to come to the house of the Lord, I'm not just talking about here, I'm talking about all over. Listen, do you realize God is the one who's chosen this place for us to meet together for certain times of the week? We didn't do this. I would have picked different times. Shorten them up, something other, cut them off. I don't know, my flesh. But because God's chosen it, every time I yield to my flesh and I don't go, I get weaker. I don't care what you say. I don't care how you justify it or anything else. Truth is truth, and lies are going to keep me bound, but truth will make me free. If I could have went, been there, done that, and do not, I yielded to the flesh, and when I sow to my flesh, I'm going to reap corruption in somehow. See, I can't keep sowing to the flesh, disobeying God, and expecting to get stronger and stronger. I can't not read and study the Word of God and expect to be full of faith, man of power for the hour. It's not going to happen. Faith comes how? By hearing. Sometimes I don't think our elevator goes to the top, Sandy. I know mine don't sometimes. That's why I have the Holy Spirit to help me. Because I'm telling you, I'm dumb as dirt without Him, but thank God I'm not without Him. Whew. I got about 4 minutes and we ain't even got to my first point yet. That's all right. It's good to me. I told y'all remember a few weeks ago when I told y'all that I'm sitting there and I told the Lord I didn't want to say it because I knew what was going to happen. And I said, Lord, turn the light on the cockroaches in my life. Y'all remember me saying that? Woo, it's on. I knew what would happen. I've been in this a while. And in my flesh, Sandy, I don't want the light on. Why? Because the flesh enjoys it. If Scotty's flesh didn't enjoy a lemon, he wouldn't eat his teeth off with it. If my flesh didn't enjoy, have some kind of enjoy. The Bible says that there's even pleasure in sin, but only for a season, because you're going to have pleasure in it, and then it's going to be running you after a while. That's why it's only for a season. But he don't say there's no pleasure in it. So wherever I'm yielding to the flesh, I'm getting some kind of pleasure, but it's costing me the life of the Spirit. Somewhere, somehow. Right? Are you going to pay the price? Am I willing to do without that brownie? Am I willing to exercise? What's it going to cost me to look and feel and be the health that I believe God wants me to be? And I believe I have a certain way that I desire for me to be. What's it going to cost me to get there? See, if y'all notice on TV, about the end of the year, you'll start seeing all kind of gym commercials coming on TV. You'll start seeing all these nicotine patches and all this stop smoking plans and all this. Why? Because at the end of the year, people that smokes, people that's fat, wants to lose weight, blah, 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 I'm going to change my life. I'm going to go get me a gym membership. I'm going to buy me some patches. I'm going to give me some chances. I'm going to pour out this vodka. Y'all not saying nothing. I'm talking about Christians. The world does what the world does. But they, most of them, Sandy, they never think, what's it going to cost me? See, I can go down there and buy that gym membership. Don't mean I'm going to go. Been there, done that, went twice, and then they sued me because I didn't want to pay it. That was years ago. Yeah, sure enough. See, y'all think, how does she know all this stuff? Well, you shouldn't even ask. Been there, done that. Most of it's experience in the Word. Just because I buy a gym membership don't mean I'm going to get healthy. Just because I buy me some patches don't mean I'm going to quit smoking. Number one, you got to want to. I don't care what it is. You got to want to change. You got to want to obey God. And anywhere that my flesh don't want to, I'm going to have to get in the Word and get my will changed. Jesus did not want to go to the cross. He told the Father, he said, if there's any other way that your plan can be accomplished, please, let's do it that way. Now, that's my paraphrase. But y'all can basically see he's saying that, right? But then he says, but not my will. See, everybody, somewhere or another, your will is going to cross the known will of God. Somewhere in your life. And that's where we're going to have to say, I don't care how much this hurts. I don't care what this costs me. I'm going, the Spirit, I'm going to do the will of God. And freedom will come. And health will come. And strength will come. Whatever that it is that you need will come. And I've actually got to stop because our time is done up. So, whatever area that it is you got issues with or whatever, you feel like that God's putting his finger on certain things in your life, you need to deal with it. Don't make excuses for it. I don't care if you've been that way and your family's been that way for 15 generations. God says not today. I don't care if you've tried 100 times and failed. God says, not today. Right? We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But it's going to cost me. Just like I said about myself, I've come to realize, Sandy, I can't do this without exercising. Maybe somebody else can. I can't. And as far as in my flesh, I don't like exercise. Exercise hurts. I exercised the other day, did about half of what I was doing a few years ago when I left out. I could not walk. I had to hold on to the toilet to sit down. I'm not kidding you. I felt discouraged. I wanted to quit, and I thought, no, I'm not going to quit. I'll just back off a little bit. I can't start back up where I ended off 5 years ago. That's not reality, okay? But the thing about it is, you may have to take little baby steps toward whatever that is. Listen, do you realize as long as you're going forward, you're not staying the same and you're not going backwards? Don't try to lose 70 pounds in a month. Lose a pound a week or a pound every 2 weeks. And we will rejoice with you and be glad. That's progress. Amen? Whatever it is. I got to stop.